ചേതോദർപ്പണമർജനം വോമഹാദാവാഗ്നിനിർവാപണം ശയ്യക്കൈതവചന്ദ്രയാ വിതരണം വിദ്യാവധൂ ജീവനം ആനന്ദാംബുദിവർദ്ധനം പ്രതിപദ പൂർണാമൃതാസ്വാദനം സർവാത്മാസുമനം വരം വിജയതേ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ സങ്കീർത്തനം നാംനാമകാരി ബഹുദാ നിജ സർവശക്തി തത്രാർപ്പിതാ നിയമിതാ സ്മരണേന കാല ഏതാദൃശീതവ കൃപാ ഭഗവൻ മമാഭി ദുർദൈവമേ ദശമിഹാ ജനിനാനുരാഗാഃ തൃണാരമീഷു നീചേന തരോരഭി സഹിഷ്ണുന അമാനിനാമാനദേന കീർത്തനീയ സദാ ഹരി ന ധനം ന ജനം ന സുന്ദരീം കവിതാം വാ ജഗദീശകാമയേ മമ ജന്മനി ജന്മനി ഈശ്വരീ ഭവദാൽ ഭക്തിരഹൈതുകി ത്വയി ഐ നന്ദതനൂജ കിങ്കരാം പതിതാം മാം ക്ഷമേ ഭവാംബുധൌ കൃപയാ തവ പാദപങ്കജ സ്ഥിതധൂളേ സദൃശം വിചിന്തയാം നയനം ഗലദശ്രുധാരയാ വദനം ഗദ്ഗദരുദ്ധയാ ഗിര പുളകൈർനിജിതം കദാ വപൂ തവ നാമഗ്രഹണേ ഭവിഷ്യതി യുഗായുധം നിമേഷേണ ചക്ഷുഷാ പ്രാവിശായുധം ശൂന്യായുധം ജഗല് സർവം ഗോവിന്ദ വിരഹേ നമേ അശ്ലിഷ്യ വാ പാദരതാം വിനഷ്ടു മാം അദർശനാം മർമഹദാം കരോതു വാ യഥാ തഥാ വാ വിദദാതുലംബനോ മൽപ്രാണനാഥാസ്തു നൈവ നാപരാ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ സോ വി ഹാവ് നൗ കംപ്ലീറ്റഡ് ഫ്രം 10 to 18 ചാപ്റ്റേഴ്സ് റൈറ്റ് 10 to 18 we have done that now. So what have we understood from that now? That's the question, isn't it? See, the thing is, when you read Bhagavad Gita, you will see there is a spiritual thread connecting all the chapters. If you understand that thread, you will see. Bhagavad Gita is not a book like you study, every chapter is different, and individual chapters are saying different things. It is not like that. There's one message in the Bhagavad Gita, that is self-realization. That message is carried through all the chapters in different ways. And that is how this discussion is going on. Look at this way now. This chapter from 10 to 18, what we have seen so far. If you look at that, we begin with the 10th chapter itself. Krishna spoke about all his opulences first. Yeah? Vibhudis, they call it. So all the vibhudis were spoken. And Arjuna heard all the opulences. And at the end, Krishna said, then my vibhudis are unlimited, Krishna said. Adhava bhunedena kim jnadena tava Arjuna vishtabhyaham idam krishnam ekam shenastido jagat. This is how Krishna concluded that chapter. Ekam shenastido jagat, he said. He says, you will not be able to understand who I am actually. What you have heard from you is only a very small part of that. Ekam shenastido jagat. But I am, this whole creation itself is me. When Krishna said that, Arjuna wanted to understand Arjuna is not able to relate with it when Krishna is saying all this. He knows Krishna only as a person in front of him, good friend of him, but more than that he does not understand anything. So when Krishna said this, then Vishtabhyaham idam Krishna egam shena sthido jagat. When he said that, Arjuna says to Krishna that, what is your form actually then? Who are you? And Krishna thought that I should make him understand who I am. And then the universal form was shown to him. It is coming from that verse, Vishtabhyaham ham krishnam ekam shena sthito jagat. It is from that the universal form has come. Because Krishna said so. Arjuna wanted to see, who are you then? Krishna said, this is me. And the universal form was shown to him, right? And then, as we discussed all that, what universal form is, so I won't go through that. And at the end of that universal form, Krishna said, to understand me, mal karma krita mal paramo, mal bhakta sangavarjidaha, nurvaira sarvabhudeshu, yasamamedi pandava. So if you want to come back to me, that's the process. Mal karma, do everything for me. Mal parama, be surrendered to me. And mal bhakta sangavarjidaha, become my devotee and give up all association with the rest. And no have enmity towards anyone. Nurvaira sarvabhudeshu. He will come back to me. He put some conditions like that and he closed that chapter, 11th chapter. Yeah. So you can't look at that spiritual thread from one chapter to another, how it flows. And then when you combine all of them together, you will start realizing what Bhagavad Gita is talking about. Bhagavad Gita is talking about only one thing. I am not this body. I am actually pure consciousness, bodham. But we are thinking we are this body, and we are finding it difficult to come to that state all the time. So how to cut there, that's what all this is about. Whole Bhagavad Gita is about this only one thing. How to realize the self. Who am I? That realization to come at the end. Yeah. So when Krishna said that, that verse in the 11th chapter at the end, Mal karma krita mal pramo mal bhakta sangha varjiraha nurvaira sarvabhudeshu yasamamedi pandava. When he said that, the Krishna mentioned there, become my devotee. He said, mal bhakta. So Arjuna could not understand what is this about, what is this bhakta means. He only knows Krishna is his friend. But what is this bhakti all about, he is saying. So Krishna had to talk about bhakti. That is what led to the 12th chapter, Bhakti Yoga has come from that. So what Krishna did there was, instead of talking about bhakti, Krishna talked about a person who has bhakti. Because bhakti is a very difficult thing to define precisely what bhakti is. Bhakti has got such a big, explanations about bhakti, right? So in order to understand bhakti is very difficult. So therefore, Krishna spoke about someone who has got bhakti. From that you understand. And that is why half of that chapter is all about how to become a devotee. And who is a devotee? Adrishta, Advaishta, Sarabhudana, onwards. Maitra, Karunaya, Vacha. These are all symptoms of a devotee, he said. Normamo, Nirahangara, Samadukka, Sukhakshami, Sandushta, Sadadam, Yogi, Edalpa, Dhridanishchaya, Mai Arpita, Manobuddhya, Yomal Bhakta, Samepriya. He kept on saying like, they are all dear to me, they are all dear to me, they are all dear to me, he said. And finally, Krishna said, that at the end of that chapter, Yedu dharmyamrutam idam, yathoktam paribhasate, shraddha dana matparama, bhaktaste adivame priya, he said. One who has understood this dharmyamrutam, the nectar of this dharmam, and who is doing upasana, yathoktam paribhasate, shraddha dana, with shraddha, he is very, very dear to me, he said. He closed that 12th chapter like that, the chapter of bhakti. That is how he finished that, isn't it? Bhaktaste adiva me priya, he said. So, meanwhile, while he has said all these things, yedu dharmyamrutam idam, yathoktam paryubhasate, ashabdhadana matparama, bhaktaste adiva me priya, he is very dear to me, he said. So, when Krishna said that who is a devotee, by saying a person who is a devotee, and then at the end of that chapter, Krishna closed that chapter like this. This dharmyamrutam idam, dharmyamrutam, what I have talked about, he said, one who is doing upasana with this knowledge, and one who has got that shraddha, they are very, very dear to me, he said. Adivame priya, he said. Adivame priya. So when he said that, Krishna, Arjuna felt, that this bhakti what you have spoken and the upasana what you have spoken, how should I do that? How do I do this upasana what you have spoken? Krishna says to him, then Arjuna, there are two things. One thing is kshetram, other one is kshetrajna. Kshetram, you have to know both very well. What kshetram is, what kshetrajna is. And then he said, kshetrajnam chabimam vidhi sarva kshetreshu bharata. I am Kshetrajna in everyone. In everyone, I am present. I am Kshetrajna. But Kshetram is different. Every Kshetram is different. We are all Kshetrams. This body is Kshetram. And Kshetrajna in all of us is the same. But our Kshetram is different. Kshetram means this body. Gross body, subtle body, causal body, all these things together is our Kshetram. Kshetram is different. So in that chapter, in the 13th chapter, basically, Krishna has spoken about Kshetram more than Kshetrajna. He spoke about Kshetram more. You'll see that here. Yeah? And he explained about that, what is causing he's explained the Tal Kshetram Yachayadracha Yadvigari Yadashayan Sajoyat Pravasa Sasamasayan Shunu. So many verses he said, and Mahabhudha Nihangaram, is about Kshetram he discussed. We discussed all that, so you can go back and listen to that. So after saying about Kshetram, he said that to have this Kshetram, Kshetrajna Jnanam properly, he said, he closed that chapter by saying certain things about the Kshetrajna also. He said, Idi Kshetram Tada Jnanam, Yayam Chokta Samasada, Madbhakta Yadvijnaya Madhavayupa Padjade. So, understanding Kshetram and Kshetrajna properly, Krishna says that he'll become my devotee. Madbhakta Yadvijnaya Madhavayupa Padjade. So, Krishna said, after talking about bhakti, then he spoke about Kshetram, Kshetrajna, and then he said to Arjuna that if we understand this Kshetram, Kshetrajna properly, you will develop bhakti, he said. And that is how he is closing that chapter. Lot of things he spoke in that about Kshetram and Kshetrajna, both he has covered in that. And finally, at the end of that chapter, Krishna says that this knowledge, if you practice this Kshetra Kshetrajna Vibhagam properly, what the benefit is, Buddha Prakriti Moksham, he said. That's the word he has used. I'm condensing it to the smallest level, in one or two words, saying this. But you have to remember the whole chapter properly. Buddha Prakriti Moksham. What is Buddha Prakriti Moksham means? Buddha Prakriti Moksham means freedom from the Prakriti. Prakriti means this modes of nature. Bhūdham is a panchabhūdham, this gross body, all this. So you become free from the modes of nature, you become free from the body as well. Bhūdham, panchabhūdham, this is, isn't it? Bhūdha prakriti mocha. So he says, Kshetram kshetrajñayo reva andaram jnana chakshusha bhūdha prakriti mocha ye vidur yandide param. So one who realizes that, he reaches me, Krishna said like that. So when Krishna said this, Arjuna wanted to understand this Prakriti, what it is. You are talking about Buddha Prakriti Moksham. From Buddham and Prakriti you want to be free. So what does this Prakriti mean? And that is what Krishna put in the next chapter. You see the connection from one chapter to another, how it goes. That flow, that spiritual thread from one chapter to another, how it is connected each other. How Krishna is bringing Arjuna, bringing him up to proper understanding. Yeah. So he says to him that there is three modes of nature. That is Prakriti, Gunatrayam. They are called Gunatrayam. So this Gunatrayam, Krishna discussed in detail in that 14th chapter. Yeah. So 14th chapter is all about this Trigunam. Yeah. Trigunam, three modes of material nature. And at the end of that, Krishna said that one who has developed bhakti, he will transcend these three modes. Mamchayo avyabhijarena bhakti yogena sevate saguna and samadhi then brahma bhuyaya kalpade. He will realize Brahman, he said. Krishna closed that chapter and then he also mentioned brahmanohi prakishtaham amrlasya avyasya shashvatasya dharmasya sugasya gandhiyasya, where he mentioned that the nature of Brahman, what it is, one who is established in Brahman, that will be his nature. Saying that, he concluded that 14th chapter. So, when Krishna concluded that, Krishna realized that Arjuna had got a very good idea about Kshetram now, and very good about the idea about the modes of nature, everything. Kshetrajna he hasn't spoken enough. So, therefore, the 15th chapter is all about Kshetrajna. But Kshetrajna, Krishna explained that in detail, talking about Kshara-purusha, Akshara-purusha and Purushottama. In three levels it was spoken. Ultimately it is Krishna only, Andaryami inside. But how Upasana goes in three different levels? As Kshara-purusha, Akshara-purusha and Purushottama, right? So Dvaidam comes from Kshara-purusha. Vishishta-dvaidam comes from Akshara-purusha. Advaidam comes from Purushottama. This is that three levels. Three levels of Advaidam is a higher realization, but it is not possible for everybody in the beginning. We all have to go through this Dvaidam first. Krishna is there, we are there, devotees are there. That's the beginning of that. Yeah? So Purushottama Yogam is basically about this Dvaidam, Vishishta Dvaidam, Advaidam. Vishishta Dvaidam is an in-between state, Jiva Bhavam. And like that famous verse in the Ramayana, Anjaneya Swami says, isn't it? Mm. So you can understand where Krishna is coming from. And in this chapter, 15th chapter, Krishna spoke about that Purushottama Yoga, about Kshetrajna. What it is, in detail he spoke about that. So, after saying that, he mentioned there that Iti Guhyatamam Shastram, that Idamuktam Mayanaha, Edat Buddhva Buddhiman Seyal Kratakritishya Bharata. It requires, once he understands this, he becomes satisfied, Kratakritiyata comes. Kratakritiyata means fulfillment comes to him. He mentioned that and closed that chapter. And at that time, Arjuna was wondering, how do I get to that stage? How do I say? So the main handicap there is our sambhata, wealth. Sambhata, it is called sambhata. Sambhata means, you know the word, sambhata means wealth, right? What is that wealth? Wealth means what we have brought with us from previous life. That's what's called wealth, isn't it? What we have brought with us from previous life. And that wealth can be to either way. It can be Devi Sambhata or Asuri Sambhata. Divine nature or demonic nature. It's not what you have cultivated in this life, what you have brought with you from previous lives. And accordingly we got this type of body what we have got, and our Swabhavam, Prakriti, everything is based on that, from previous lives what we have done. It has come with us as a wealth for us. That is why it's called Sambad Vibhaga Yoga. It's called Devi Sambad Vibhaga Yoga. Devasura Sambad Vibhaga Yogam, it's called. So Krishna says that you have to take that into account first in your spiritual life. You have to take that into account, what I have brought with me. So to make us understand what we have brought with us, Krishna explained that in two different ways. Devi Sambhata and Asuri Sambhata. Accordingly, we are living in this world. We are behaving in this world, depending on that Sambhata. And generally, majority of people don't think about all these things. Most of the world is Asuri Sambhata. Most of the world. Very few people will show some attraction towards Devi Sambhata. So something we must have done in previous life, something good, that is why little attraction for Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam now. Otherwise this attraction won't come. We will generate, because all of us have got Asuri Sambhata. Asuri Sambhata we have plenty enough. Devi Sambhata you have to develop that. So if you continuously build Devi Sambhata, you can escape from Asuri Sambhata, demonic nature. Continuously if you build Devi Sambhata. So Salsangam, Javam, Dhyanam, Puja, Parikramam, and everything what is Adhyayam, everything is for building Devi Sambhata. How to increase the Devi Sambhata all the time. That's the idea behind that. Salsangam, Javam, Dhyanam, everything is for building up Devi Sambhata. So that you can escape from Asuri Sambhata. Asuri Sambhata will come to you, even if you don't have to work for it. It will come. It will come from the society in general. It will come from our karma in this world. We will go and do such karma, which creates Asuri Sambhata in us. So Asuri Sambhata is not difficult to cultivate. It will come on its own. But if you protect yourself from Asuri Sambhata, the only way to protect that is continuously build Devi Sambhata inside. So that is why that chapter, 16th chapter, is a very detailed explanation of what Devi Sambhata, Asuri Sambhata is. And Krishna spoke about Devi Sambhata first. Krishna says to Arjuna, you heard about Devi Sambhata. Now I will tell you about Asuri Sambhata. But doesn't need much explanation, he said. Because it's there in everybody. Everybody has this Asuri Sambhata, right? So, after saying all that, we saw that at the end of that chapter, Krishna said to Arjuna, Arjuna, all these things will only make sense to you, provided you accept Shastram. If you do whimsically things on your own, it won't help you very much, he said. So therefore, at the end of the chapter, Krishna said, Tasmal Shastra, e Shastra Vidimul Srijya, Vartade Kamakarata, Nasa Siddhim Avapnodi, Nasukham, Naparam Gadim, Tasmal Shastram Pramanande, Varyagari Vivastido, Yatva Shastra Vidhanavuttam, Karmakartami Harvasi. Those two verses, Krishna concluded that chapter, 16th chapter, stressing the importance of Shastram. Krishna says you should always consult Shastram. You shouldn't do anything on your own, nor you should talk anything which is not in the Shastram. People have a tendency, isn't it? They'll talk all sorts of things in this world. And that is not Shastram. Shastram, you have to completely abide by the Shastram. What Shastram says, alone you should listen to. Alone you should accept it. Nothing else. Krishna is stressing that there in those two last two verses, right? Because they are the only one which can give knowledge. Nothing else, right? And how one should conduct oneself in this world. So, in order to have that faith in the Shastram, Shraddha is required. And that is why Shraddha Krishna has spoken in the next chapter. So you can see the connection from 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th. Now the 17th chapter, what we have seen now, is all about Shraddha. Without Shraddha, you won't be able to understand Shastram and you won't be able to build your life based on the Shastram. Without Shraddha, it won't happen. And Shraddha, we have discussed now what it leads to. And it is at the end of this chapter, Krishna said that Ashraddhaya hudam dattam tapastaptam kratam shayat asajit uchyade partha najad pratyano iha. That whatever you do without Shraddha is all a waste of time. Nothing is going to come out of that. And one who has followed all these things, Krishna says that that person is already will become free from the body, is eligible for moksham. Moksham and sannyasam are not two different things. Sannyasi is supposed to be in the moksham stage, moksham state. That's why it's called moksha sannyasa yoga. Yeah? And so Arjuna wanted to understand what a sannyasa means, which is not different from moksham. So Krishna explained all that in that 18th chapter, which we have started with this whole thing. And Bhagavad Gita, and Krishna said, lot of questions will come from Bhagavad Gita. When you read Bhagavad Gita, lot of questions will come inside the mind. And you got to keep on reading, thinking about it and listening. And that way you will get clarity one day or the other. It will happen. But Bhagavad Gita is a very, very deep subject. It is not so easy to make it simple for people. It's not possible. It's not possible to make it simple. It is such a deep subject as this. Yeah. Like in so many conflicts you will find, contradictions you will find in Bhagavad Gita. In one place, Krishna said, Uddharedatmana Atmanam, you have to elevate yourself, he said. And in the 18th chapter, he says, give up everything and surrender unto me. So people start wondering, what should I do? On one place he has said, you have to elevate yourself, you have to work hard and you have to come out of this. Avidya. Uddharedatmana Atmanam, Atmanam Asadayat. Atmanev, Atmanobandhu, Atmanevirupura, Atmanam. He's talking about Andaryami and the soul, and you have to elevate yourself from everything. Having said that there, and then at the end of the chapter, he's saying, 18th chapter, he's saying, give up all the things what I have spoken to you. Mamekam sharanam raja, surrender unto me. Aham tvam sarva bibhyam akshayam ashuja. So people will ask, what should I do? Which one should I do? Udredatmanam or sarvadharman paritija? These questions will come. Similarly, there is always questions in Bhagavad Gita. When you keep reading them, you will start realizing that there are many things which is difficult to get clarity on that. One place what Krishna has spoken, he would have explained that in another place, in some other form. So, complicated. Bhagavad Gita is very complicated. That is why in the beginning itself, in the Ubodhadam, Arya Swamiji mentions that the tadidam Gita Shastram, he says. Gita Shastram samasta Vedartha Sara Sangraha Bhudam means that all complete Vedic knowledge, if you extract the essence of all that, is Bhagavad Gita. So you can imagine, if it is the essence of the whole Vedic knowledge, how complex it will be. Durvijnayartham, he says, most difficult to understand as well. This is Shankaracharya saying this about Bhagavad Gita. Samasta Vedartha Sara Sangraha Bhutam Durvijnayartham, he said. And then he said that a lot of people have given, explained Bhagavad Gita in their own way. Tada avishkaranaya anege vivrata padartha vakyarthanyayam abhi atyanta virudha anega arthatvena laukigehi grihyamanam upalabhya aham vivegataha artha nirdharanartham samkshepataha vivaranam karishyami. He is saying there, many people have spoken Bhagavad Gita, right? And they have explained the meaning of individual each word and their meaning, and different verses, their meaning, all they have explained. And because of that, what happened? In people's mind, they have a lot of conflicting understanding, contradictions about that. And in the, among the ordinary people, therefore, I have decided to write this commentary on Bhagavad Gita for this reason. Asya Gita Shastrasya Samkshepta Prayojanam Param Nishrayasam Sahedugasya Samsarasya Atyanto Ubaramalakshanam Tatcha Sarva Dharma Sanyasa Purvagat Alpajnana Nishtharyobat Dharmat Bhavati. He says, the benefit of this Gita Shastram is this, he said, that ultimately you have to free from the cycle of birth and death. You have to come out of that, right? And once for all, permanently, to become free from the cycle of birth and death. And that can happen in becoming free from the karma, and from cultivating the knowledge of the self. So, with that, we will close here, and then we'll start now from the beginning, from 1st to 9 chapters, which we have to do. So, a basic introduction before that. 1st and 2nd chapter is very much together. The 1st and 2nd chapter. 1st chapter is basically Arjuna Vishada Yoga, it's called, isn't it? Arjuna's Dilemma, in other words. So, before Arjuna's Dilemma, let us look at our dilemma. That's more important. Arjuna's Dilemma, is at least Krishna was there to tell him. So, till now, from time immemorial, time of the Vedam, not only that, even from the time of creation, you can say, all times, wherever you go in this creation, everyone you can see, they say, that you're only looking for one thing in this world, when you come to this world. What is that? That you want happiness. You want happiness in life, right? And and that problem is still there. That hasn't changed. Generally, everybody is looking for happiness in this world. Yeah. So, what is the what is the problem in this world? Why are we not happy? Right. And because we want happiness, right? And when we are not getting happiness in life, we feel distress. So, that is the problem, right? So, inquiry, everybody is inquiring for happiness. How do I become happy in life, right? You can see, when we come out of the womb of the mother, garbhavasam, it's called, living in the womb, garbhavasam. When you come out, first thing, what we do? Cry. Everybody cries. Nobody came here smiling, is it? Every one of us, when we came out of the womb of the mother, the first thing we did was we just cried, right? Quack, 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 we keep crying as soon as we come out, right? That quack, quack, quack itself is you are looking for some happiness, sukham. That's it's a baby's language. That crying is baby's language to get happiness, right? And then mother gives some milk to the baby, and temporarily it got satisfied, goes to sleep or something, right? And so temporarily the problem is solved. As soon as the baby only wants that milk, get some milk, go to sleep. Then he'll wake up again he will cry. And then again somebody will give him milk, right? And again he will sleep in this way. So that baby level, that's all what he needs. The milk is sufficient to keep him, and then a lot of sleep. That's all. A lot of milk and a lot of sleep. That happens. After he grows up, and the vasana comes, starts coming out from inside to play. If you look at the small children, they want to play, always. Looking for an opportunity to have fun, to have playing, right? So that is the time you start noticing how vasanas are coming out from inside. And then he will cry for toys or something like that. And if you give them toys, he was happy. He will use it for some time, then he will throw it away. After some time, he doesn't want any of that, right? And then after 3-4 days, he will throw them away. You have given it to them, they wanted, cried for that, you gave it, and then they will throw it away, right? And In whole childhood, he will keep playing with different types of toys and trying to find happiness from all that. And then sometimes he will become a little bit grown up, he'll attach to get books or cinema or television, or in this way keeps changing. His happiness, source of happiness keeps changing, right? Or what does that show? It's showing that his desire for sukham, happiness he is looking for. While he was, from the beginning it is like that. With the milk it started. And then he grew up as a little boy or a girl. Again he is looking for toys. Again, behind that, it is the inquiry for happiness. How to become happy, right? And then as he grows up, the tools for happiness changes. It becomes cinemas, televisions and all other kind of things, right? So if he gets it, he is happy. And then if he has grown up further, he wants a young man or a young woman, he wants a job which is satisfying his and life. So his requirements have changed. But the purpose for which he is looking for has not changed. That same happiness what he is looking for, right? And at that stage what he is looking for is a good career or good profession or job or whatever it is, right? And he'll be observing others as well in this world, what others are doing, right? He may think that a good job like him, if I had a good job like that, probably that will give me happiness in life. That's the way his mind is working at that age, right? And then once he has got established in a job, then he will think about marriage. That's when he wants to get married, right? And if marriage didn't happen, unhappy. If marriage didn't happen, right? And if he didn't get a person who he like, he or she likes, then also he's unhappy. If the person didn't come, right? And then some time goes, okay, got a person whom you like or whom you, whom he likes or she likes, and then after some time, if there were no children, then again there is unhappiness, right? And then if you had children, then you are saying, oh, we should have a boy, not only a girl, in this way, suffering. So where is this going to end? This journey started from asking for milk. It has come through the toys, and then it has come through the education, and then it came to getting a job, and then getting a married, and then having children, and then I'm a boy. Or some people say, I want a girl, or I want a boy, whatever it may be. And after you got that, children, grandchildren, or whatever it may be, then with that grandchildren you start further. The thing gets further extended, right? Whole day this inquiry goes on, are they all happy, properly situated, right? So this is exactly what Vidura asked the question. You remember in the Bhagavatam? Where did that question coming from? Because this is what he has seen in this world, everywhere. What he saw was this, right? So Vidura said to him that, remember this, what happened to Vidura, right? Look at Vidura's background. If you look at Vidura's background, Vidura was living in Hastinapur. And he was a minister there. And he has seen these Kshatriyas there, how they conduct their life, right? Great, great personalities he has seen in Hastinapur. Great, great personalities, right? And Vidura has seen wealth flooding there. In other words, he has seen the topmost level of luxury life in Hastinapur among the Kshatriyas, right? Which means, you know, their lifestyle, Duryodhanas and all the other, that clan, whole, they were so much into acquiring wealth and living comfortable, enjoying life, right? So he has seen all that. Vidura has seen all that. But he also noticed that they were running after wealth and material happiness, but none of them seems to be happy in life. That also he noticed. Vidura saw that as well, right? And none of them, he felt that I am happy in life and I am satisfied in life, right? So that is the reason Vidura understood that it is no point in telling them anything. He got tired of giving advice to them. Vidura. Vidura got so tired of giving advice to those people there, and he walked out from there. he walked out from there, right? Ultimately, you know how it all happened. It is there in the Mahabharatam and Bhagavatam. You can see what happened. Seeing Duryodhana's mind, Dhritarashtra's mind, and the way Pandu was behaving, how Kunti Devi was struggling with her life, with the children. Seeing all that thing, Vidura got so disgusted with it. And he walked out from there. And then he left his home, practically. He had a nice wife who was a devotee. In spite of that, he left her home. And without saying one word, he left his bow and arrow there and told Duryodhana, "You can do whatever you want. I'm going," he said. And he left. And for 36 years, he wandered around all over. Place to place, he went, temples, ashrams, and all great, great holy places and places everywhere he visited, right? And so, ultimately, he comes back and he gets to Haridwar. He met Vidura, Uddhava in Vrindavanam, and when he met him, that Maitreya Maharshi is also Krishna's disciple, like Uddhava is. Is it not? Like Uddhava, Maitreya Maharshi is also Krishna's disciple, right? So Maitreya Maharshi is the one who has known Brahmavidya. What Brahmavidya is, he knows. Because he told Uddhava that you go to Badrinath, and I had a person like you, very dear to me, which is Vidura. I don't know where he is, he's wandering around somewhere else. If you happen to meet him, Krishna knew that he was going to meet him in Vrindavana. He says, if you happen to meet him, tell him that he should go to Maitreya Maharshi, who is sitting in Haridwar. And Maitreya Maharshi has heard Ekadasha Skandam from Krishna along with Uddhava. Together they heard. So you tell him that he should go to Maitreya Maharshi, and Maitreya Maharshi will instruct him on self-realization. He should hear from him. And this is Krishna's instructions to Uddhava. And then Uddhava left. Uddhava came to Vrindavanam, and he, by accident means Krishna's arrangement, he met Vidura there. And Vidura wanted to hear from Vidura. When he saw Uddhava, he saw a big change in him. He was coming after hearing Ekadasham from Krishna. The impact of that on Uddhava was very conspicuous, very clear for Vidura. And Vidura said, "What has happened to you? What made you change like this?" The change that has happened in Uddhava. Uddhava said that, "I am on my way to Badrinath. I don't have much time to talk to you, but one thing I must tell you, Krishna has told me that you should go, if I see you, to tell you that you should go to Haridwar. Maitreya Maharshi is there, to his ashram you should go, and you should ask all your questions to him. Krishna has instructed Maitreya Maharshi, he remembered you, Vidura, but he wanted Maitreya Maharshi to tell you everything." And that is how Vidura arrives in Haridwar, right? And Maitreya Maharshi is a realized soul. He knows Brahmavidya, what it means. He's a rishi, he's a Brahmavidya, right? So, and that is why you see that the first verse itself in the Bhagavatam about Maitreya Maharshi. Dvaridunadhyam krishapakkurunam maitreyam asinam akadabodham kshetto basritya chudabhavashuddham paprachya saushilya gunavitrattaha. This is Maitreya Maharshi. Maitreya Maharshi is presented like that. Dvaridunadhyam krishapakkurunam maitreyam asinam akadabodham. Akadabodham. Akadabodham means very deeply realized inside, highly realized inside, right? So what that verse is also showing to us is that how a disciple should approach a guru. That's what basically that verse is all about, right? With the bhakti and the humility and offering obeisances to him, chattoba sruti achyuta bhava shuddham paprachyo saushilya gunabhitrupta. Now talking about Vidura. How Vidura comes to Maitreya Maharshi, offers obeisances to him, and with the utmost humility, Vidura is asking Maitreya Maharshi certain things, right? So there he is saying, Maitreya Maharshi asked Vidura, "What's the problem?" Vidura said that, "I was a minister in Hastinapur, right? And anyone in this world will like to have that job, my position. It was such a such a great position it was, right? And great personalities, emperors have ruled from Hastinapur, and I have seen their life. Who Vidura says to Maitreya Maharshi, I have seen their life. Yeah. And I have seen their how they conducted their life, and seeing all, and also I have seen people who are interested in spiritual life. Their life also I have seen. Because I left there and I wandered around. I went to so many ashrams and temples and riverbanks where people are practicing spiritual life. I have seen that as well. I have seen one side, the life of the Kshatriyas in the Hastinapur. And I have also seen in the holy places how people were taken to spiritual life and practicing it and realizing the truth. Also, I have seen that as well, he said. So, after seeing that, I have also practiced a lot of bhakti sadhana. I've practiced a lot of bhakti sadhana, right? But still, I'm not getting shanti inside. He, 36 years he has done this. Remember, 36 years in life, it's not a small amount of time, isn't it? So 36 years wandering around to all these holy places, ashrams, temples, and met many, many people during that journey. And from that all, he has learned a lot. But he said that, the perfection in shanti, I haven't got it yet. He said, yeah, and I am still inquiring, where is perfection? Purna vastu, purnada, where is that, right? And therefore, I am wandering around. And finally, I saw Uddhava there in Vrindavanam, and Krishna has, I could see that, Krishna, out of his unusual compassion for him, and with a lot of love for Uddhava, Krishna has saved him. Krishna has saved him, he said. And what you have to remember here is, Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, there is not a huge difference. It's one and the same thing, right? So, to Uddhava, Krishna spoke the science of the soul. To Uddhava, right? And Uddhava cried when Krishna said he is leaving. You know that, in the Ekadasham you will see that. Uddhava crying when Krishna is leaving, right? Ultimately, Krishna said, I am going back to my abode, Sodhamam. Sodhamanayamam abhi, Uddhava says there, right? So, Krishna says, you take me also with you. Krishna says to, Uddhava says to Krishna, you take me with you. I cannot live without you, separately from you. And he started crying. Who? Uddhava started crying. Krishna asked a question that you were with me whole life, practically 115 years Uddhava was with me, right? Is that what you learned from me, to cry like this when I am leaving, right? Am I something which will die one day? Is that what you are understanding about me? Krishna fired a lot of questions to Uddhava. Then after associating with me, is this what you got it from me at the end? Krishna is asking that, right? And am I something which will die and go away one day? Am I something like that? Is this what you have understood about me? Krishna is asking Uddhava, right? So, Uddhava says to Krishna, I don't know what it is. You are my guide. You are my guru, right? So, Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, guru is not something which will die. If it is dying, it's not guru, he said. This was the Guru Tattvam. Krishna is explaining to Uddhava what Guru Tattvam is, right? Guru, if he is going to die one day, then what is the use of having a guru like that, if he is going to die one day, right? So, guru is not a person. That's the first thing to know. Guru is not a person. Unfortunately, most of the people have understood everything in the wrong way about it. Guru is not a person, right? Guru is the self itself, Antaryami inside, another form it is coming, that's all, Atma Tattvam. So, Atma or the soul, Antaryami, has no death, right? So, first thing you should understand that, Atmano Guru Ralpaiva, Purushasya Visheshada, Pratyakshena Anumanabhyam Shreyasam Anivindade, Egarsham. Krishna is saying this to Uddhava. Uddhava, first of all, understand that Guru is not something which is going to die. Guru is Antaryami himself in another form outside, right? Saying that, this you must understand, he said to Vidura, and told him and gave him the knowledge of the soul, Atma Tattvam, which is in the Ekadasha Skandam, right? Upadesham was given like that. So after he heard Ekadasi Skandam, Uddhava was totally satisfied, right? And with that, after Krishna spoke all these things, Uddhava felt satisfied, and that feeling of separation, being separated from him, that pain, he managed to get out of that. The pain what he was experiencing, being separated from Krishna, that pain has gone away from him. And with that words, what Krishna has spoken about the Guru, about Krishna's position as the Antaryami, Atma inside, hearing that, when he heard from Krishna's mouth, when Uddhava heard that, that pain has gone from him, right? And Uddhava was satisfied with that. And Uddhava was told, you go to Badrinath and sit there in the river bank, Alakananda River, and sit there and do the meditation. That's what the instruction was given, to go to Badrinath and sit there, right? So Uddhava is going like this, and on the way he met, Udra has seen, met Uddhava, right? Vidura and Uddhava embraced each other. That's all in the third canto, we spoke about that before, right? And he couldn't believe himself, when he embraced Uddhava, he experienced something which he has not experienced before. This is what happens, that Uddhava has completely changed. And that self-realized state of Uddhava has created, Vidura looked at Uddhava's eyes, eyes were glowing eyes, and the whole body, because of that self-realized state, was in a enlightened stage, that, and also he noticed that Uddhava is gone very inward looking, not outward. Previously, Uddhava used to speak about the things outside in the world. But now Uddhava don't want to talk about anything in the world outside. More, he was absorbed in the life inside. Antarmukhatvam has happened to him, right? So Vidura says to Uddhava, you have completely changed, he says to Uddhava, right? And so he gave the example, like, you know this worms, they will eat these leaves. They are on the leaves, they will stay, these worms. You go into the garden and look at it, you will find. Nowadays, you don't even find that even. Because everything is chemicals, you're pumped and they look beautiful, attractive. So, but in the villages, you will see this, right? So before, and this worm, what is inside, eating these leaves and all that, after some time, it turns into a butterfly. It changes its form, right? So, prior to that, it will sit in the flower. Sometimes these worms will sit in the flower, right? And it will eat the leaves, it will eat some part in the flowers also, right? And when you look at them, when they take it for the deity worship, when they see these worms and that, they will get rid of them from that. And then sprinkle some water so that the flower can be used for the worship, deity worship, like that, right? So when you look at them, it looks very disgusting. Those worms' body, the worms' nature, right? But the same worm, when it becomes a butterfly, they look very beautiful. So many colors and the wings, and then they fly from one to another, all these things, right? So that worm and this butterfly, there is no comparison between the two. That body of the worm and this body of the butterfly is totally different, completely changed, right? In the same way, when the avidya leaves inside, what is inside us, this avidya ajnanam, when it goes away, when the knowledge of the soul manifests in someone, self-realization happens, and he realizes that, jiva realizes that, this body, mind, intelligence, senses, ego, all these things has nothing to do with me, I am purely that Sachidananda Brahmam. That state, that Anandam stage, that is where Uddhava is now. That body, what Vidura has been seeing before, has gone now. It is a completely, Uddhava is disconnected from the body totally. And he has reached this state that I am not his body, mind, intelligence, senses and all that. I am purely that Antaryami inside, which Krishna has given to him. It has affected even his body, in other words. That realization inside has affected his own body. And that is that change what Vidura has noticed in Uddhava's body. Due to self-realization, Uddhava's body has changed. It happens. They call it as chit-shariram, chit-deham, or it becomes chitta. Even body becomes spiritual. The change that has happened in Uddhava's body, Vidura noticed that, and that's what he mentioned there, right? So, when he embraced that deham, that body, because it is chitta, he felt a tremendous realization inside, temporarily, for Vidura, right? And he did not know what to say to Uddhava, and he felt this, and total shanti inside, and he says to Uddhava, so Vidura says to Uddhava, that please tell me what have you received from Krishna. Tell me about that, he said. That same instructions what Krishna has given to you, please give it to me, he said. I am not feeling that shanti, what you are feeling. I don't have that, right? Wherever I look, all I find is desires. People are suffering, fighting, killing each other. And due to these desires, Uddhava says that, due to desires, envy and then hate towards each other. And at the same time, in order to cool them down, you have to give them something so that their distress goes away. So instruct me properly, what should I do? Uddhava says to him, I am not the only person. There are another Mahatmas in this world. Here is the important thing. For some people, they have the prarabdham to give upadesham to others. For some people. That is in Krishna's hands. Krishna will decide that. That is why it is important to understand this, right? To some people, Krishna says, you realize the truth and stay in that state. You don't have to do preaching and telling others about it. That's not your problem. Krishna is arrangement like that. Yeah. So for some others, you don't have to give instructions to others. You realize the truth and remain in that state, right? And for some others, it is different. So this preaching, changing others and all, is a prarabdham it is. Itself. It's a prarabdham. You won't understand that in the beginning, because in the world, people think that those who are preaching and saving others, they are better than those who are practicing themselves. This is a misunderstanding. It is not the real thing. Most of the people think like that, isn't it? Because in the world, that is the way the world is, right? So, Krishna's instructions to Uddhava was, you go to Badrinath and what you heard from me, reflect on that and make it completely your own realization, right? So to some people Krishna will say like that, you go, you realize yourself and make it your own, that's enough, don't need to do anything else, right? And to some others Krishna will say, you go all around the world and distribute this and make others also know about it, knowledge, right? To some people, Krishna will say like that, right? So, in the mundane world, ordinary people, what will they say? They will say those people who are propagating, they are the best. Not those ones who are practicing it on their own. This is the worldly concept. It's like that, right? Because these people are doing a lot of good things. Because we are like that. Our nature is like that. We think that those who are saving the world, isn't it? They are important for us, those who are saving the world. The others, they are selfish, we say. They are sitting on their own in some cave in Himalayas and not doing anything else about it, right? So, this question will come in anybody's mind. This question will come, right? So, what is the use of someone who is sitting in a cave in Himalayas and not doing anything for the world? There is no benefit to the world. He is very selfish and all, people will say like that, right? But in Krishna's eyes, both are equal. Why is it equal? Both the person who has gone and realized it, and the knowledge he has translated in his own life and realized the truth, him, and the one who is traveling and preaching and distributing everything in this world, there is no difference as far as Krishna is concerned, right? The thing is this, if this person who has gone and practiced and realized it, like Uddhava has done, if he has done that, right, whether he is preaching or not preaching, through him the world will get the benefit. because of its very presence itself. The world will feel the benefit, right? Words are all useless at that stage, right? For example, Vivekananda, he traveled at that time a lot, isn't it? And he spoke Vedantam very well to the world, all over the world, right? Ultimately, he said one thing. I have understood one thing he said. What is that? That someone who has realized the truth and who is living in a cave with this deep realization, and if he leaves his body, his realization will come out from the cave, breaking open even the stones that he has covered the cave. When you go inside the cave, you close the entry with a stone so that nobody can come inside. That's how the yogis did in the past. Vivekananda is saying that those who have gone inside and those closing their entry into the cave with the stones, if they have realized the truth inside, that realization will come out into the world, breaking open that stone even, and save the world, he said. And it will bless the whole world in that way, says Vivekananda, right? So, he says they don't need to come out even. They don't need to give lectures outside. They don't need to even write books, nor do they get to make any propaganda. By their very presence itself, this will happen. So, does that mean that those who are making propaganda and those who are preaching, are they second class? No. For example, if you take Shankaracharya, he did all these things. He went out, preached, wrote books, and propagated Vedantam, everything, right? So, whether they do it or they don't do it, it will come through that due to their, that's also Prarabdha Mages. That, those things we won't even understand how that happens. Great, great personalities, you will see both these two different types. Someone who's completely withdrawn from the world and who have lived in this world without worrying about others, but due to their self-realization, it has affected so many other people. But then there are others who are also realized, but they live their life in this world simply for propagation of this knowledge, Vedic knowledge, right? So Krishna has kept these two types of people in this world, both these two different types of people. One group of people, they propagate and they make others to do things, right? Other group of people, Krishna keep them alone in the caves or in some solitude somewhere, right? So, Uddhava says at that point to Vidura that he has told me to remain alone, not to get involved in the world. That's his instructions to me. Uddhava says to Vidura. To me, the instruction is to go to Badrinath, sit there, reflect on what I have spoken, and realize this truth to the maximum, and come back to me with that. That was the instructions to me. He didn't tell me to do anything in this world, to fix the world or anything like that, right? So, but for you, to save you, Krishna has arranged someone else to do that, and that is Maitreya Maharshi in Haridwaram. And so you go and ask Maitreya Maharshi, because it is Krishna's arrangement is like that. So you can see both types exist in this world. It's not that one is higher than the other. Both are, Krishna's arrangement is like this. One group who simply realize the truth, study Shastram, realize the truth, finally practice sadhana, anushtanam, everything, realize the truth and leave this world. That's there, going back to Krishna, whatever you say like that. The other group, they are given the responsibility to spread in this world, to save others and instruct others. That's another prarabdham for them. That's the way Krishna has arranged them like that. That's all it is, nothing more than that. Yeah. So, we start interpreting it in a different way. We say those who are doing the preaching is more important than those who are practicing it in solitude. We compare them. That is our mundane nature, mundane mind. That's not Krishna's mind. Krishna is saying like this, that Uddhava is a perfect example. He sent him to Badrinath, told him, reflect on everything what I have taught you, and then you come back to me. That's how Uddhava goes. Vidura, Krishna said, go to Maitreya Maharshi, hear from him. So Maitreya was kept here to preach to Vidura all these things. Maitreya knew that Vidura will be coming one day. Because he said, Krishna said, told Maitreya, one day this my friend, like Uddhava, which Vidura was, one day will come to you and you should teach him everything what I have taught you. He said this to Maitreya Maharshi. Krishna said this to Maitreya Maharshi. So, so it is with this background, Krishna Uddhava is saying here that Uddhava has told me like this, that's why I have come. He said to Maitreya Maharshi, right? Vidura said, I have seen a lot of people in this world in my last 30, 40 years time, and they are working very hard, and continuously, and everywhere when I look in the world, all people are busy is doing karma, nothing else. Karma, 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 karma. Everywhere, right? And so those people who are very much supportive or who very much propagate karma in this world, a lot of people do that, don't they? They give importance to karma and they push others also into it. For them, they should understand this word, verse. Vidura vacha. Sukhaya karmani karoti loko natai sugamba danyatuparamamba vindeda bhuyastadam eva dukkham yadatra yuktam bhagavan vadena. That is how he began. What I have noticed, Uddhara says, they want the sukham, happiness in life, and they are working very hard. Did they get happiness? No. The end result of all that is things, they are not getting happiness. That is okay, they are not getting happiness. On the other, they may get something, little bit here and there, but due to their karma, as an after effect of their karma, a lot of distress coming to them. Vidura's observation of this world is like that. We all belong to that category. All life we have worked for what? How much happiness did you get from this life? Very little, isn't it? What happiness have we had? Lot of stress and lot of suffering. That's all. What else have we got? So, sukhaya karmani karyoti loka. Vidura's analysis is very good. Vidura is saying, they worked very hard throughout life. They got a little bit of happiness, but the sad thing is, due to their karma, what has happened was, sukhaya karmani karyo loko, that nadesukamvad anyadubharamamva, instead of lot of dukkham has come to them, distress has come to them, right? And that is natural, because the after effect of karma is dukkham, right? Karma, nature of karma is like that, dukkham. Will come. There is no good karmam, bad karmam. There is no such thing, right? Whatever karmam you do, it will be followed by sukham or dukham, happiness or distress, right? So, how do I get perfection, shanti in this state, tripti, uparamam, shanti, how will I get that? It is answer to that, that Maitreya Maharshi has spoken. At the end of that chapter, right? So, answer to this one question. Sukhaya karmani karyoti, it's a very interesting question, isn't it? You look at your own life, you can see this. What we have spent all our life in this world, what did we get out of all this? You are gone one day with all these things. What for? What is the benefit from? So, this thinking won't come to us. It takes a long time to get, to analyze life in this way. Like the way Vidura has done. Nobody analyzes life like this. Sukhaya karmani karyoti loko nadai sukham va danyadubharamam va vindeda bhuyastadam eva dukham yatatra yuktam bhagavan vadena. Explain to me, what do I do? He said, for this you have to understand the after effect of karma, because karma creates karma vasana. Karma vasana means what? Another body. Is it not? So, did our karma actually help us, or did it create more problem for us? Every karma, what we have done, right? So, the answer for this question is Srimad Bhagavatam Maitreya Maharshi. And this question, what Vidura has raised here, right? Its answer is in all the Puranams and in the Mahabharatam, in the Upanishads. It's all explained in all these different Vedic literature. From time immemorial, they are answering this one question, what Vidura has asked. When we come to this world, we do a lot of karma, thinking that we will become happy. The end result of our karma is, we get entangled in the karma, Karma vasana we built up, we generate more bodies for us and we leave this world. So is it a profitable thing? That is what Vidura is asking that. We did all the karma to become, get sukham, to become happy. The end result of all this is that we created karma vasana inside us, which in turn will create more body. Karma vasana means avidya. Avidya means more bodies, one after the other. So, ultimately when you look at it, it's not a very profitable deal. It's a loss. It's a loss. So, that's what he is saying here. Where is the happiness in this? Right? So, all Vedam also is answering this question. Shruti, Smriti, Puran, Upanishads, everything. Right? Where is perfection? This is not perfection. That you do a lot of karma and a lot of suffering comes after that. A lot of different bodies we get after that. That's not perfection. What is the perfection then, right? So they are saying there, where is Tripti, total satisfaction, Shanti and perfection? And this answer to this question is what Rishis have found out. Rishis have analyzed this issue like the way Vidura has spoken. And they found the answer and they said one thing, that in physical plane, perfection is not possible. On a bodily level, perfection is not possible, never. It is not possible to be perfect on a bodily platform, right? And this anybody can understand. If you look at the bodies, the nature, different types of bodies, whichever body you take it, right? And perfection means what? It should not get destroyed. It should remain forever perfect all the time, right? It should be there and it should be also have, it should not give you any trouble. That kind, a body. Is there any body like that in this creation? There is no body like that. Every body will get one day, destruction will happen, body will get destroyed, right? So, in other words, what Krishna is saying is that in the bodily level, perfection is never possible. So, don't waste your time in that direction too much. To think, this is a big lesson to learn first from the Shastram, that on a bodily level, perfection is never possible. We are thinking that I can do this, I'll do that, so many alternative methods. We do everything what is possible, but Krishna's point is that in the bodily platform, perfection is never possible, right? And even a child can understand this principle, right? And this body, what we have come with to this world, in due course of time, it will go through changes. Remember the six different kinds of changes. Asti, all different Shad Parinamam they call it. Vardade, Jayade, Abhishyade, Nashyade, all that six level, different levels of destruction for the body will happen no matter who it is, right? It is going to happen. So, first thing to decide in spiritual life, Bhagavad Gita's introduction this is, unless you accept all these things, Bhagavad Gita won't make any sense. These are the fundamentals of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is saying to us that decide this first thing that on a bodily level, perfection is not going to happen. I'm not going to waste my time on the bodily platform, right? And therefore, to think that if I am thinking that I am this body, I will never become perfect. I will have to accept another body. That's a fact, yeah? So, the question is this, that even if you study all the physical science, what is available in this world, you are still on the bodily platform. You are on the platform of the body, isn't it? That is the reason this medical science, and you know the science related to our beautifying the body, what do you call that? The body, you know, how to... plastic surgery and all kinds of things people do in this world. This transplant, that transplant, breast transplant, this transplant, all kinds of things people are doing. What the science is doing, right? Science will grow a lot because people are like this. That's why that science is growing, right? So all the equipments to make this body comfortable and happy, it's improving a lot, right? And you keep on giving this happiness to the body as much as possible, right? And you have given a lot of happiness to the body. That means in the bodily level you are happy, but no matter how, whatever you may do at the end, total satisfaction is not coming from that. Total satisfaction. Some of the videos, if you look, it is so funny how kind of people think people do in this world. to become happy through this to strength, he keep the body in a better shape, right? So whatever you may do at the end, there is no way that diseases won't come. Something will come for this body, right? And this is what made Buddha. Buddha's realization began from that. You remember? Buddha said that death is coming, diseases are coming, my beauty of the body is going away, people are dying, everything is happening, and my so-called wife, children, all of them, they will also die and go away. After seeing all these things, Buddha gave up everything and walked out from there, right? So, one person asked this question, there is a lot of distress in this world, but what does it mean? There's a lot of happiness also in this world. That is ordinary people. They think like that, isn't it? I know there's a lot of problems, but still there's some happiness in this world. And that's how their mind... This is the avidya inside us. And that is why we will keep on hammering this world to extract something out of it. Right? So at that time, Buddha answered that question. Yadi janma jara maranam na bhavet, yadi ishta viyogam na bhavet, yadi sarvam anityam na bhavet, kasya janma niradhir na bhavet. This is Buddha's words. Buddha's words they are, right? What he is saying is that where there is no birth and death, and there is no your close members of your family don't leave you, ishta viyogam na bhavet, where everything is so temporary, when it is not like that, then there is no point some living in this world. But all these problems, there is a solution, he said. So by the design itself, this world is created like that, to suffer. That's all it is. That one has to come here, accept the miseries, that's all. Krishna is saying that to us. The package is like that. Anityam, asukham, logam. And he also said that janma, mrityu, jara, vyadhi, dukkha, dosha, darshanam, all these things, right? So, Buddha said, I'm born as a son of a king, right? And his father created three different palaces for him. One for the summer, one for the rainy season, and one for the winter time, right? And so that he is looked after very well, and seeing Buddha's tendency, way of thinking, father was not very happy. So father wanted him to develop attachment to this world, because he wanted him to take over the kingdom from him, right? But Buddha unfortunately got disgusted with the whole thing. And he said, everything is temporary here. Why? Janma, jara, maranam. Right? And it's only for a short period of time. After that I have to give up everything. Why? Old age has come. What will I do then? Right? So even though you are still here, problem is that you are not permanent. You have become old, you can't enjoy anything. Then what happens? All the facilities are there, you can't use them anymore. Because the body is not in a stage to use anything, right? Death will come, old age will come, disease will come, and the body starts withering away. And previously in the early life, husband or wife was very dear to each other. When you get them old, very old, they don't even look at each other. At one stage, wife was so dear, when you got married at that time, so beautiful she looked. And at the old age, about 70, 80 and all comes, you just even don't look at that side. She does her things, I do my things. It comes like that. So this is the world we are talking about, right? So, ishtaviyogam. So, and sometimes he will leave her and go away, or she will leave him and go away, right? So these are, I mean, death can happen. Either he will be gone or she is gone, in that way. So, Maitreyi, Yajnavalkya Maharshi says about this to Maitreyi. Yeah. Maitreyi, he says to Maitreyi like this, if you love your wife separately as Atma, anybody, right? That bhairya or wife will leave you one day, giving you a lot of distress. If you start thinking purely on the bodily level, instead, if you see her as Atma and if you have that love in that relationship, in that way, you won't have trouble. But instead, if you have loved her based on the form and the body, everything, one day she will leave you and go, and you will suffer. And he said this to her, to Maitreyi, right? And similarly, the husband, she said like that, that to the wife, towards the husband, and to the husband, towards the wife, in this way. In the same way, wealth also in this world. So, wife will leave you like this, giving you a lot of distress, and she will go. Or husband will give you a lot of distress, or he will go one day. That is inevitable, bound to happen, right? So, Buddha says like this, that Yajnavalkya says to Maitreyi, it is the same with wealth also. Wealth also, that it will stay with you as long as you are staying here. After that, it will go its own way, you will go your own way, right? So, when you think about that itself, is fear comes. Ishta viyoga bhayam. So, when things are happening like this, how can you be feeling secure in this world? Yajnavalkya says to Maitreyi, how could you feel secure in this world when this is the situation, right? And that is why it is, we call it as very gullible we are, is it not? Very gullible. You know where this word comes from, gullible? Gullible word comes from seagulls. Why is it so? Because the seagulls, say 10 of them are sitting there. Somebody has come with a gun and shot 9 of them. The 10th one will sit there still. He won't fly away. We are like that. We are seeing all around the death, diseases, and people leaving this world. And we still think, oh, that's all right. I'm okay at the moment. I'm happy. This, that, it is from that word seagull, this gullible word has come in the English language. Right? So, so unless you are frightened about these things, there is no chance of escaping from this. Unless you are frightened about all these things, right? What you are to be frightened about, you should be frightened about that, right? And what you should not be frightened about, you should not be frightened about that. So you have to know that, what I should be frightened about, what I should not. The materialistic people, what do? They say, I'm not frightened about death. They will say like this. I'm not frightened about that. I'm not frightened about old age. I'm not frightened about disease, old age, birth, death, old age, disease. I'm not frightened about all that, he says. They are like the seagulls. If you shoot 9 of them, the 10th one will still sit there, thinking it doesn't bother me. We are like that, aren't we? One after the other is all popping out, and we say, I'm all right, Jack. That's our nature, right? So, in the society you can see that if a child somehow takes some interest in spiritual life, he starts chanting Hare Krishna, or he's doing some meditation, or visiting temples and things like that. If the child does that, the parents get worried. He says, what has happened to him? The parents ask this question, right? So, at such an early age you want to do all these things, they will say. Japam, dhyanam, puja and everything. And so, therefore, this is the world we are living like that, right? Gaudabada says this, abhayo bhaya darshinaha, right? And what should be frightened about? You should be frightened about that, right? And what we are frightened about is things that inside all of us, that person inside us, right? It is that person is ahangaram. It is called a jiva. It is that ahangaram is what is getting frightened about all these things, right? So, ahangaram or jiva is fearful of Ishvara. Ahangaram is fearful of Ishvara, right? Ahangaram doesn't like self-realization. Ahangaram is frightened about self-realization. Because self-realization happens when ahangaram gets completely destroyed. That's when self-realization happens. Therefore, ahangaram doesn't like self-realization, right? Unfortunately, as jiva, we have become identified with ahangaram. That's where the problem started. And we are feeling as though we are frightened about something all the time. Actually, we are not frightened. It is this avidya inside that is making us fearful. making us fearful. That means that ahankaram avidya, that is what is fearful, right? But somehow or the other we feel that we are frightened. We are frightened. This is how it happens, right? So I'll stop there today. We'll continue tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.